Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will begin a series of Bible lessons this coming Sunday, June 19th, and will continue through Friday, June 24th. Service times will be 9:30 Sunday morning and 5 Sunday evening, and each weeknight, Monday through Friday, at 7 p.m. Come, bring your Bibles and study with us. If you're completely incapable of attending in person, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear the Bible lessons as they're presented. You know, an important thing that we could study also is concerning the work of the church. There's a lot of controversy and division that has resulted from the violations of what the Scriptures authorize in the manner of the work of the church. But if we're truly committed to doing things in Bible ways, then we'll insist that the church do all that it's supposed to do, nothing more and nothing less. What is the work of the church? Well, one of its works is evangelism. What we mean by that word is teaching the gospel to the lost. We read in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. We read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, that it's to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So we see then that the function was part of God's plan from eternity. And we see this function being carried out in the local church. For instance, the church at Philippi. Notice what we read in chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So we see the church at Philippi had fellowship with the Apostle Paul. That means that the church at Philippi supported financially the Apostle Paul in the work that he was doing of the preaching of the gospel. We see another example, too, in the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, here's what we read in chapter 1 at verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord is sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we need not to say anything. That shows that the work that the church at Thessalonica was engaged in was the work of evangelism. They were teaching the gospel to the lost. Another work that we find clearly authorized in the New Testament that the local church is to engage in is edification. That word literally means to build up, and it's used in connection with spiritual activity that promotes spiritual growth. Take, for instance, what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. We won't take time to read all of these verses, but just to begin in verse 11, and we could go ahead and read throughout verse 32, but let's just read beginning with verse 11. That he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. And like we said, we could go on and read through the end of the chapter, but it shows that this word edification clearly is used in reference with spiritual activity that promotes spiritual growth. And this is an important part of God's design for the church, just like we read here in Ephesians 4, verse 11. But let's also look at Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning with verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's one of the purposes for which the local church is to assemble together on a regular basis in order that we might consider one another, that we can stir up love and good works, and that we can exhort one another. And two, take consideration of the statement that's found in 1 Corinthians 14, there at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Yes, the work of the church is to edify its members, to build up in a spiritual way so that we can spiritually grow as the local body of Christ. But then another work that we find that we see the New Testament authorizing the local church to do is the work of benevolence, and that is to assist those who are in physical need, food, clothing, shelter. And the church is commanded to act in this area. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, notice what we read beginning with verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So we see then that here, as well as the statement that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, notice what we read in verse 16. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. You see, we have a number of examples of this kind of action taking place in the first century churches. We'll not have time to look at all of them, but for instance, in Acts 11 and verse 29, we see also in Romans 15, verses 25 and 26. But here's the thing that we see consistent in each and every example of the church involving itself in benevolence. In every example, the church was involved in assisting saints, needy Christians, destitute saints, brethren. The church is not a universal Red Cross, and yet that's what people today look to the church to be. They want the church to pay the electric bill. They want the church to give them groceries. They want the church, and yet they're not members of that church. They're not members of the body of Christ. That's all that we read about in all of the New Testament in connection with the work of the church when it comes to benevolence. The only thing that a church can take money out of the treasury and help in a benevolent way is one who is a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that we let people that are not Christian starve to death. That's the accusation that's often made. No, we're commanded in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as individual Christians, when we have an opportunity, we're to do good unto all men. So yes, we have individual Christian responsibility to help someone in need that we know about them if we have that opportunity. But the only example that we have of the church financially assisting an individual in a benevolent manner was concerning a person that was a Christian. And when we look at these works, the work of evangelism, the work of edification, and the work of benevolence, there is no other work for the church authorized in the New Testament. That's it. But yet, that doesn't mean that there have not been other works that have become to be a part of the work of the New Testament church. Churches were never designed, nor were they intended, for the purpose of solving all of the social ills of the human society. You see, if it had been the Lord's intention for the church to rid the world of hunger, don't you suppose that the man who could feed multitudes with a few loaves and fishes could have enabled the church to feed the world's hungry if that was his wish? Or, if it had been the Lord's intention for the church to rid the world of disease, why didn't the one who healed scores of people himself give his church the ability to heal all those that are sick? And if it's been the Lord's intention for the church to rid the world of social injustice, how then can we explain that Jesus was never a social reformer, nor was he ever a political activist? If it's the work of the church to cure social ills, then it's an institution that's poorly conceived and inadequately built. No, friends, this is not the work of the church. What we read in John chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, is often the passage that's referred to in an attempt to justify the church involving itself in these kind of works. But here in John 6, verse 5 to 14, this text is often used as an attempt to prove that we should feed men physically before we try to feed them spiritually. Okay. And those that use this passage, here's some things that they fail to consider. They fail to consider the whole context. You see, the very next day, Jesus rebuked these same people for following solely for the loaves and the fishes. Notice what verse 24 says. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into their boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon them. So you see, as a result of his teaching, what do we read in verse 66? Verse 66 says, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. As a result of his teaching, many people stopped following him. But Jesus did not try to draw them back with more food, did he? No, he certainly did not. But two, an area of increasing activity by many religious organizations is that of social recreation. But friends, nowhere in the scriptures can we find of where the church even insinuated that it involved itself in those kind of activities. We must understand that there's a difference between the activity that's authorized by the individual and the activity that involves the work of the church. And yet some have mistakenly thought that the church is whatever the church is authorized to do, the individual is authorized to do. But we read a passage a moment ago in 1 Timothy 5, verse 16, that shows clearly a distinction between individual responsibility and the responsibility of the church. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.